Well, welcome to the Chamber Podcast. I am here with Ron Noah. He goes by Noah. Mm-hmm. Noah is the Director of Membership and Retention for the Greater Beaumont Chamber of Commerce. And Noah, thanks for joining me today. Obviously, we've been practicing this. You've been practicing. you've done it like six times, and we're hopefully going to make it work this time. Very excited to have you on our first podcast, and wanting just to have some conversations about selling, about leadership, a little bit about philosophy, and kind of what your background and experience has been. I want to tell you, when I first met Noah, it was at a mix and mingle that we had, and when I met him, I knew he had the right type of mojo and energy to be at the Greater Beaumont Chamber of Commerce. But that really leads into our first question.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
When you looked at and thought about coming to work for the Greater Beaumont Chamber of Commerce, what was that driving thought process for you? Why did you want to come to work here?
Well, for the first part, born and raised in Beaumont. I think Beaumont can be a great place. And I think that speaking with you for the first time and just talking about the depth of Beaumont, knowing what it stands for the Greater Beaumont Chamber of Commerce, it's making small business and big business stronger, making Beaumont a better place, making Beaumont a place to where our kids, once we do raise them to be respectable, you know, ethical adults, just want to stay here.
Yeah.
And having a legacy, you know, for our town compared to a stranger coming in.
Yeah, I think that's a great example. And we talk about making the economic pie bigger.
Exactly.
Not only for some of the big corporations that we have here, but also for small businesses.
Exactly.
And I think that's one of the key elements of a chamber of commerce that is relevant and having an impact in the community.
Exactly.
You know, one of the key things that really kind of caught my attention on your resume is your extensive sales experience.
So yes, sir.
Talk a little bit about what you did as far as sales over the last 30 years.
Yes,
and kind of what some of the things you bring to the table.
Well, first, growing up, I worked at Butch Offers. You know, the last year in high school, when I got back from Puerto Rico, worked there as a park demo. Mr. Hoffer, got a pleasure meeting him. He told me a lot about business and too dressing nice.
He said, man. And you're always styling.
Well,
Noah, you're always styling.
Well, my papa told me, he said, you know, if you can go out and purchase anything, you make sure it's the best thing, because that's how you save money. And then the first impression is the only impression. So you have to carry yourself in that way.
Yeah.
You do.
So you started out in the clothing business,
yes.
And then what did you go to next after that?
Kenny Shoes, the Woolworth Corporation.
Okay.
I did that as a manager with those guys for 5 years until they closed.
Okay.
And then I got into medical supplies for the past 25 years. So when I did medical supplies, I started in the nursing home division. A lot of things changed, but you always had to be creative. And then I switched over to the doctor side. So I understand a lot about, you say, the medical field, because we purchased merchandise from over 4,000 different manufacturers.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of things that we had to learn. It's a lot of things that we bought out, you know, for the medical field.
Yeah.
So for as a handheld ultrasound machine, now they're using it for, you know, testing for colon cancer, and also doing surgeries for prenatal surgeries.
Yeah.
That's still in the womb. It's a 3D colored handheld ultrasound. Now it's a bigger machine.
Yeah.
And for the most important thing as well as breast cancer.
Yeah.
So now that just gives a doctor an access and knowing exactly where to go in and what exactly needs to be taken.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head when you talked about being creative, because everything changes. Markets change, business change, business models change. And if you keep thinking, oh, I've always done it this way,
that never changed.
And then all of a sudden you're going to be out of business.
I think
that's a prime example of what some of the challenges businesses face, even what chambers of commerce face. So the first thing I want to talk about is your five keys to selling. I was impressed when we were talking about what you saw as those key elements to be successful in selling. So share with our podcast audience, you know, your five keys to selling.
Well, Steve, thank you. The first thing to know is five keys of selling. It's likability. Likability, it doesn't matter what you're selling. You have to be likable. And that means going in, everything about you, it has to be likable to a point from your attitude, the way you look, the smile they have in your face, being positive.
Yeah.
People know that. And I tell you, you get more out of it with sweetness than you do with some bitterness.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah, that old adage, you get more with honey than you do with vinegar.
There you go.
Yeah.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. Likeability is a key. Likeability is a key. And I think it's overlooked, right?
I think we
sometimes think of the military where it's command and control, and likability is not a key factor. But in the real world,
it is.
Yeah, being likable is a real asset. So what's number two on your
number
list?
Two, y'all, awesome. I got it here. Solve a problem. So knowing the problem first, knowing what to solve. And it's very important because you got a person that when you walk into business, especially what we do, you have to know about several different things and a lot of key factors on how to make things better. So in other words, you got to know directly what the problem is. So you can help that particular person doing. You have some generalizations and you know what problems are, but you have to be creative in your mind and be able to solve that problem for the customer and for your person.
Have you, in your vast sales experience, mm-hmm. you ever had a situation where it just what you had product you were selling or mm-hmm. what you were doing didn't fit with who you were talking to, and then did you say, you know what? I'm not the right person. We don't have the right product, but you can get this over here or go here, and you can find that solution.
You can't stand business that way. So no matter if you have the product or not, you still get it for the client. So no matter what it is, I mean, first you have to know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and it's always and like I say, solving the problem. You have to be able to you know quickly think about what can you do to make this business better.
So you got to have those connections.
You do.
Okay.
You do, and you have to before it even happens. You already have to know.
Yeah. Okay. What's number three on your list?
Number three, knowing the difference between price and value.
Yeah, that's an important one.
It really
is. I'm a cheap person. I always look at the bottom price and go, okay, can I buy that?
We have to talk.
But that's not always the best strategy.
No, seriously.
So
not.
Talk about value and price.
Well, price is going to be like, there's a price in everything. There's also value in everything. So it's not saying you have to pay the full price for it, but it's going to be more economically safe for you if you were to get the best value knowing what you're buying.
Yeah.
Because what would you rather do? Buy 10 or buy 2?
Yeah.
Or 1?
Yeah.
I'd rather buy 1 at a half price compared to buying 10 at a full price.
Right, right. I think that's a good point. What's number 4?
Number 4. Sometime I had to practice on this one, guys. But you have to be able to listen. If you can't hear, you can't help.
Yeah. And listening is an art, isn't it?
It is. It's an art. It really is, because we all want to talk. But sometimes you still talk when you listen.
Yeah.
Because you get the people, you get more information about listening than you do by talking.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to silence your client. You don't want to silence your customer. You want to, or your member. You don't want to silence them. So just shut it in and, you know. You got two ears and one mouth.
Yeah. God made us that way for a reason.
That's for a reason.
Yeah. You know, my biggest challenge is, I catch myself a lot of times, instead of listening, mm-hmm. I'm thinking about the next thing I'm going to say.
Exactly.
And that is a big no-no.
It's a no-no because you're not giving the full respect and attention to the your client.
Absolutely.
And I think they deserve that. When they spend no matter what amount of money that's being spent, it's still money. It's their property. It's their money. They work for it. So give them your respect. And then by listening, you'd be able to solve their problem. So, you know, it's going back to the old percentage, you know, ways. You know, if you go back and you listen, you know, 80% and talk 20, you're good.
Good. Tell me about the last your last one on the Noah's 5 key elements to selling.
Yes, I got you on that one. If you do all those other 4, that last thing you do, if you did it respectfully, you know, honestly and ethically, you can ask for the deal, close the deal, ask for the business. Because if you did that, they're going to say yes. Would you like that credit card or check?
You know?
Hey, that's, and my boss always tell me, it ain't a deal until it's a deal.
Yeah.
Where's your money?
Yeah, you can be talking to somebody all you want, but unless you close the deal, it doesn't really matter. Yeah,
and it'd be beneficial for everyone.
Yeah, yeah. I always laugh at the people. I'm this close. I'm just going, well, you're not there yet.
Uh-huh.
So, well, great. So tell me about, in terms of leadership, and there's lots of different ways to lead. What do you see as the top three key elements to being a good leader?
Well, there's a lot of good things that a person can do to be a good leader. You know, but a leader sometimes is not literally meant to lead, all right? So first is integrity. Integrity for a person to have, it's like not just having it in yourself, but in others as well. Because when you make a person feel important, when you make a person feel recognized, and that they are being heard, okay, and they have a voice, you know, that's what's important sometimes. Because just like anything else, like I know it's five keys of selling, you know, you have to be able to listen as well. The second, being able to delegate, okay? You can't do everything yourself. Yeah. You can't. So you have to have some respect for people, knowing what where you need to go, what area you need to attack, you know, for you to, what's, in other words, having strong people in a specific spot, in specific position, you know, to help, you know, drive. So we can't just, my mother always say, I have to take you to make you bed up every day.
Yeah.
So your sister's not going to do it. So this is your job. Your sister's going to do that, and your brother's going to do that. So she delegates that out, so she's not all stressed out about nothing. So we always did what we were supposed to do, what we're told to do.
Yeah, delegating is really trust.
It is.
Obviously, with a volunteer organization, there's certain things that we do as staff.
Exactly.
There's certain things we hand off to volunteers and hope that they're going to do it and follow through. And there's a trust factor.
It is. It is about holding people accountable for, you know, what needs to be done.
Absolutely. What's number three, then?
The number three is communication. Same thing when we go back to delegate. You got to, you know, you have to communicate in a certain way that people understand. It's not going to be the same for everyone. Because that's like all my mother always told me. I can say hello many different ways. And each way that I say it, you get a different aspect from it, different meaning from it. You know, I can say hello, you know.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, okay. I say hello. It's calmer.
Yeah.
So we, sometimes as people, we don't understand on sometimes what we say and how we say it. Not what we do, but how we do it. Yeah. So we had to take that into consideration.
Yeah, communications. You got, I always tell folks, you've got to talk to communicate, you got to communicate to lead. Talk,
that's right, and you have to.
Yeah, it's one of those big challenges.
Yes.
And communication is really quick to break down. And I know you personally don't like to use email or text.
I'd rather talk.
You'd rather talk to them on the phone because you get to hear the inflection, you get to hear the tone, you get to see the facial expressions. So a lot of the subtle things that go in as part of communication.
Exactly.
I think that's really cool.
It's a lot of different context to it, Steve.
So what would you tell your younger self? What would you tell Noah, who's 20 years old? What would you tell yourself not to worry about or think about?
Well, you can't control a lot of things, and we have no control over the future. We don't. We have to, and I learned the hard way, that worry about what you can worry about. The other stuff, you can't. So, in other words, that stress stuff, you know, worrying about what you have no control over, you have no control over.
Yeah, and what you're really talking about are some of the Stoic philosophies, right? Mm-hmm. There's, I can't control what you do. I can control how I react.
Exactly.
You know, and that's where sometimes we got to step back and say, okay, I can handle myself,
exactly,
and my attitudes, but I'm not in control of somebody else.
You can because you drive yourself crazy. Trust me, I've been there. And done.
Yeah. So when you think about living your best life, what are some of the key elements to living your best life? What does that mean to you?
Living my best life is just being, trying to be the same person, positive, happy, ethical. Making life simple. I mean, life is hard enough.
Yeah.
And this enjoying your time, you know, that you do have. And it's just not bringing, when you have something bad, don't bring other people down.
Yeah.
You handle it, let it go, move on.
Yeah.
Because it's God. If he touch you when you go to bed, if he touch you the next morning, you have another day to live.
Yeah.
So make the best out of it.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Mm-hmm. So I've asked you this in our five previous, and no, I'm going to disagree with you. There is stupid advice.
Not every
advice is good advice.
Okay, how about
this? So here's my challenge to you. On our fifth interview, I want you to tell me a stupid piece of advice somebody's given to you.
Well, I'm going to go back to my sifter now. Okay. How about this here? I'm living in Houston. Okay, I was living in Houston. This is about 25 years ago, 26 years ago. We were going 45, going west on 45, going over a hill, going down. My brother-in-law hits the one from the back because they just stopped in front of the on the freeway. So I was just about to put my seatbelt on, which it didn't. So I hit the windshield. Stupid me, you know?
Yeah.
But you know what? Seatbelts do work, guys.
Yeah.
What happened is that the next morning, I went back and I drew up the freeway, and I put cameras on the freeway, and also made a sign and put the sign up saying that there's an accident down the street, so be careful. Drive with caution.
Right.
Exactly what they have today. My brother-in-law told me, no, that's not a good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at me now.
20 years later, yeah. Yeah, I could have been a millionaire.
A billionaire. I'm like, man, I listened to him, and look what I lost out on. Because you know what? Today they have cameras on the freeway.
And I tell you, caution, slow down.
Caution, slow down.
Wreck ahead, yeah.
You know, so that was my stupid advice.
Yeah, so, you and I had a chance to sit in with the junior leadership program.
Yes.
And one of my advice to them was, that I think is really kind of stupid advice, is follow your passion, right?
Exactly.
Because our passions can change. You know, exactly. Your passion, you mentioned wanting to play professional baseball.
Yes, I
did. You know, as a kid, right? And you go, and you didn't become it, you know, but you had a passion and interest in it. But that's not your passion today.
No, sir.
You know, and so I always tell folks, you know, I tell young folks, you know, don't follow your passion, follow your efforts. What
that's
are you
right.
willing to put work into that
that's
you
right.
enjoy that effort?
That's right.
And that eventually it's going to make you good at.
And you're absolutely correct, Steve, because even like today, we all don't have best perfect days every day. It's impossible. But as long as you're doing the right thing and you're trying, like I tell my kids, if you don't try, how do you know what you can do?
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to try and put 110% every time and still try to be the best person you can be every day.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you can't say I never did it.
Yeah. Wayne Gretzky, one of the greatest hockey players of all time, said you miss 100% of the goals that you never take.
That's right.
You know, so if you never try,
that's great.
You're never going to be successful.
He was an awesome hockey player.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Noah, thank you for joining us today. This is obviously, hopefully this podcast is going to work. It's an opportunity for us to talk about the Beaumont Chamber of Commerce, a little bit about leadership, a little bit about selling, and also a little bit about philosophy. So we appreciate you stopping by.
Yes, sir.
And I can't wait to hear this on the on my computer.
I think it's going to be great
without
for the
20th
time.
All right. Thank you, man. High five. Okay.